Thank you very much. Okay, so I'm looking at the clock too, Sean, so I want to make sure I do this right because I don't want to go over. I told Sean in the beginning, you do 30 minutes and I'll do six. I'll just do the appeal. But he blessed us. Let's give him a round of applause, everybody. Let's praise God for him. All right, quickly, let's go to the next slide. I see the 18 minutes up there, so I've got to move. So my assignment is to speak on the correlation and connection of public evangelism with church revitalization. How does church revitalization, how is it impacted by public evangelism? So on our slide, we see some things. First of all, let's understand quickly, evangelism is the lifeblood of the church. If your church does no evangelism, your church is going to die. Evangelism is the lifeblood of the church. Also, you need to understand quickly that revitalization does not bring evangelism, but evangelism does bring revitalization. Got it? Let me say it again. Revitalization does not bring evangelism, but evangelism does bring revitalization. The next thing we need to know before I get to my 5 points, revitalization has come into focus because evangelism has gone out of focus. We're talking about evangelism and we're talking about revitalization and we're talking about the need for revitalization in our churches all across this union. Why? Because revitalization has come into focus because evangelism has gone out of focus. Now, probably Pastor Meyer, my father, and some other pastors who've been around a little while will tell you, back in the day, every year annually, there was some type of public evangelism at your local church. We have gotten away from that. And so because we've gotten away from that, we are now dealing with the need for revitalization. Next slide. Understand that the need for revitalization directly correlates, as I've shared, with a lack of public evangelism engagement in our local churches. There hasn't been before, there isn't now, and there won't be in the future anything wrong with proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, back in the day, we used to have tents. Anybody remember those tents? And we used to have tents, and we would put those post holes in the ground and make a tent and build a tent up and have a tent. And we'd have post hole, we'd have what we call a trench around the tent. And if it rained, the rain would fall in the trench there. Those were the different methods that we would use relative to evangelism back in the day. But understand, while we don't use those methods today, the message is still the same. The gospel of Jesus Christ is still the same. So we can have, you know, I don't want to say coffee cafes in our churches. Let me say postum cafes. We can have postum cafes. We can have a change in style of music. We can even dress down a bit, and all these things are fine. But the reality is we must still proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel still works because the blood of Jesus still works. Are you with me, everybody? All right, next slide quickly before I get to my 5 points. Revitalization is about mission, not corporate identity. The primary way to nurture a missional church is to engage in the church's mission and pursue public evangelism. We don't need to invent a new mission. We don't need to. We've already been given a mission in the gospel commission. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We don't need to invent a new mission. Our mission is fine. Our commission is fine. The way we carry it out might be different, but the mission is the same. But the problem is, if we go back to that second bullet, the primary way to nurture a missional church is to engage in the church's mission. We have stopped doing that. We have stopped engaging in the mission of the church. In fact, I would dare to say we are now ministering to ourselves. We teach what we want. We preach what we want. We sing what we want. And so everything we do has an internal focus. It's not missional. It's all about us. Newsflash, it's not about you. It's all about God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's all about seeing his people come into a saving relationship with him. But because we're insulated in our ministry, because we're isolated in our ministry, we are now incestual in our ministry. And because we are incestual in our ministry, I'm told that the fruit of incest is always something retarded. And we have retarded churches because we care more about ourselves than pursuing the mission that Jesus Christ has given us. Next slide. The gospel of Christ, the gospel commission of Christ, makes evangelism the primary function and duty of the church. Hence, it's the lifeblood of the church. Quickly, next slide, come on. It's the lifeblood of church. So the goal of the gospel commission is to make disciples. Baptisms are a manifestation of that disciple-making process. So then as evangelists, as preachers, and all of us are supposed to be evangelists, teachers, our goal is not necessarily baptisms. Our goal is disciple-making. Baptisms are a manifestation of that disciple-making. So we have to engage in evangelism, which is the lifeblood of the church, if we want to have church revitalization. So now my 5 points, and I think I've got how many minutes left? How many minutes left? Okay, you'll tell me if I'm, okay, 10 minutes left. Okay, good. All right, let's go to the next slide. I've got 5 points I want to make. Public evangelism, church revitalization. Evangelism is the remedy for church revitalization. When there is an outbreak of a disease, the best vaccination is prevention. To avoid declining churches, evangelism is the prevention and the cure. Now think about it. If there's an AIDS outbreak, the best vaccination for that is remain abstinent. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's the greatest and the best vaccination. Stay abstinent. Prevention. The good thing about evangelism is for a dying church or a church that's sick, not only is it the vaccination, not only is it the prevention, but it's also the cure. So in my experience, these are the 5 things that evangelism does to help revitalize a church. Next slide. Number one. Evangelism gets the church active. When people are active and they're busy and they're working, there's a buzz in the church. When people are active, when people are busy, when they're working, they don't have time for confusion among themselves. The church manual says, when the church engages in every member evangelism, most drama, most trouble in the church is alleviated and eliminated because people are actively working. There is something that goes on in a church when a membership, people are ushering, people are singing, people are working in media, that there is a buzz, there is life, there is something that is transpiring. So I have learned in my experience that public evangelism will help revitalize the church because the membership is active. Number two, evangelism revives church members. So there I was, 2006. I was invited to go pastor the Berean Church in Atlanta, Georgia. Berean Church, as I shared in a previous presentation earlier today, is the largest Seventh-day Adventist church we have in North America that is independent of an institution. When I had the privilege of being assigned to pastor that church, I was only 34 years old. I was young. I remember one elder came up to me and told me, I've been an elder in this church longer than you've been alive. I say, praise the Lord. But I started to bring about some new things, new ideas and whatnot. But the thing that helped my ministry at that church, pastoring a mother church as young as I was, people got revived and invigorated with evangelism. The older people in that church began to think about years ago when they heard the sermon on the Sabbath. They heard the sermon on Jesus Christ and that salvation is won through no one else but Christ Jesus. They started getting excited. You could see their eyes beginning to light up. And you could begin to see smiles and rocking from here to there. Why? Because evangelism revives the current members in the church. But not only does evangelism revive the current members, evangelism revives the pastor. There's something that happens when you preach in that gospel and you make that appeal for someone to give their life to Jesus Christ, and you begin to see them walk down that aisle, tears and all, and they're ready to give you their hand and give Jesus Christ their heart, and they're ready to surrender everything to you, there is something that happens within you. You can't really explain it, but you begin to get excited. And I don't know about you, but if you've ever been in my church and one person comes down that aisle, you better get ready. We're going to be there another 20 minutes because some more are going to come down that aisle. But there is something that excites the pastor. It revives the pastor. It helps the pastor remember, this is my calling. This is why God called me to this. So there I was, my first district. Some of you have heard me tell this before. I had a 3-church district in southern Mississippi. Laurel, Mississippi, Columbia, Mississippi, and So-So, Mississippi. In the Laurel church, I had 2 members. 2. And they were both over 65. 2. I was preaching so hard one day, down in the south, preaching so hard there in southern Mississippi, preaching hard to those 2 people, because I believe the text, wherever there are 2 or 3 gathered in my name, God said I will be in the midst. So I was preaching hard to those 2 people. One lady got up and she walked on out. The other lady got up, she put her hand up like this and she walked on out. I was in that church preaching to myself. Those 2 ladies came back in the church after I had finished preaching. I said, what's happened? Let's have a church business meeting. What happened? Why did you walk out on me? They said, oh, pastor, we just had to use the bathroom. Amen. But I was in that church, and I said, we've got to do some type of evangelism. So we said, we're going to have a vacation Bible school. I found some little boys in the neighborhood. I said, listen, I will buy you a McDonald's Happy Meal if you go pass out all these flyers. Flyers I had created on my own computer. They wouldn't pass them out. Opening night of that vacation Bible school, God blessed us as 53 children came opening night. I was getting excited. I was getting revived. Those 53 children were coming. I had those 2 older ladies. They said, pastor, what do you want us to do? I said, listen, all I need you to do is prepare the snacks. I'll do everything else. We had a ball that week in southern Mississippi in Laurel in that vacation Bible school. The fever started getting into me because vacation Bible school is evangelism. The fever started getting into me. And I said, you know what? We are going to have the vacation Bible school closing program on Sabbath morning for church. I said, kids, I need you to invite your parents. Make sure your parents come out to the VBS closing program. Sure enough, on that Sabbath, I was single back then, not married, had no children. It was me, myself, and I. And there I was with all those children, and all their parents came. The fever started getting me with evangelism. It started reviving me. I said, you know what? I'm going to run a public evangelistic campaign. I'm going to call it the 7 Summer Lights in Southern Mississippi. God bless, where on 7 consecutive Sunday nights, I would preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That fever was in me. I was revived by what I was seeing through the Vacation Bible School, through the Vacation Bible School closing program, and then in that revival. God bless at the end of that revival, and we baptized 3 people. Hallelujah. Don't hate, celebrate. We baptized 3 people. Well, that was that good? Because we had workers meeting at the end of the year. And the president of the conference said, we are now going to recognize the pastor evangelist of the year. I knew they were going to call on somebody else, just like tonight. I didn't expect any of this. I said, they're going to call on somebody else. The president of the conference said, our pastor evangelist of the year is Carlton Byrd because he increased his membership 150%. Hallelujah. From 2 to 5. There was something in my soul, something in my spirit that revived me. And I believe that God has me in this work because God is trying to save me. Amen. Evangelism revives not just the church, but revives the pastor. But not only that, evangelism fosters a culture of seeker sensitivity. I'm a 5th generation Seventh-day Adventist Christian. Paternally and maternally. I tell people all the time, you will not out-Adventist me. My family got off the Morningstar boat. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But there's something about evangelism that increases your consciousness to seeker sensitivity. You're more concerned about what you say, how you treat other people, not being so judgmental just because people don't look like you, smell like you, talk like you. Evangelism does that. I was in Nashville, Tennessee, pastoring. And I was there in Nashville, and I was the first pastor of a church plant. And the president of the conference said to me, Carlton Byrd, here's the list of the members who were baptized. Don't lose these people. He got in his car and he left. Left me with a list. I got in my car and I went to visit all those people. And I realized those people I visited, my church members whom I love dearly even to this day, they didn't look like me. They didn't smell like me. Their environment was not like me, but I realized God was using me in this situation because he was trying to save me. Because I had been one of those bougie Adventists that would look down on other people. But the Lord had me in this situation at that time so that I would become more seeker sensitive to the needs of people. Because I shared earlier today, you can't do evangelism if you don't like people. Finally, evangelism promotes the need for excellence in the physical plant and the worship experience. Because evangelism is recruitment. So you're talking about revitalizing your worship experience. If you're trying to spruce up your physical plant there at your church, evangelism helps that. Because evangelism for you, evangelism for the church, it says, listen, we've got to clean this place up. We've got to modernize this place. We've got to make this place relevant. Our worship has to be right. Because we're trying to reach other people. So that's what evangelism does. Church revitalization, it does it. It's the prevention for a declining church. And it's also the cure. So I go to this final slide. This summer, we're in Miami, Florida. We're running an evangelistic series at the Miami Bethany Church. For those that know the history of the Miami Bethany Church, the Miami Bethany Church used to be one of our fortresses in the Southern Union. You had the Collegedale Church, fortress. Madison Campus Church, fortress. Oakwood University Church, fortress. Atlanta Berean Church, fortress. Forest Lake Academy Church, fortress. Miami Bethany Church, fortress. But over the years, there had been a stark decline in the church. People had died. People had moved away. Church members unwilling to change and adopt new methods for the times in which we live. Conference approached. Brother Life said, listen, can you guys come down and do a meeting at the Miami Bethany Church? We need to do a meeting. We don't have many resources. The members have gotten old, but we need to come because we owe it to Bethany to revitalize that church. I've got one member left. I'm talking about the Spirit of God that will be breathed in dry bones. Lord bless us. To date, 150 persons have been baptized in that church. To God be the glory. I talked to the pastor last week. He says he's averaging between 80 and 90 people in the heart of Miami on Wednesday night for prayer meeting. Show me how popular you are on Sabbath. Show me how spiritual you are on Wednesday. Evangelism is the lifeblood of the church. I'm an evangelist, so all I know how to do is make an appeal. If you're in a declining church, if you're in a dying church, this is not Greek, this is not Hebrew, but it is the truth. Engage in public evangelism. It will do a number of things. It will keep your church busy and active. It will revive your church members. If you're the pastor, it will revive you. It will raise your consciousness for seeker sensitivity. And it will also intentionally and deliberately make you pursue excellence relative to your physical plant and your worship experience. I hear a bell ringing. The 18 minutes is up. It says finish. May God bless you as we seek to revitalize our declining, dying, and plateauing churches in the Southern Union.